Now I, Moroni, after having made an end of abridging the account of the people of Jared, I had supposed not to have written more, but I have not as yet perished. And I make not myself known to the Lamanites, lest they should destroy me. For behold, their wars are exceedingly fierce among themselves. And because of their hatred, they do put to death every Nephite that will not deny the Christ. And I, Moroni, will not deny the Christ. Wherefore I wander whithersoever I can for the safety of mine own life. Wherefore I write a few more things contrary to that which I had supposed. For I had supposed not to have written any more, but I write a few more things that perhaps they may be of worth unto my brethren, the Lamanites, in some future day, according to the will of the Lord. Now, it's interesting. The very first thing that Moroni writes about is the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and its mechanics. Now, to set the stage for what Moroni will say about that ordinance in Moroni chapter 2, let's go back to 3 Nephi chapter 11. When Christ comes and visits the Nephites, verse 18, and it came to pass that he spake unto Nephi, for Nephi was among the multitude, and he commanded him that he should come forth. And Nephi arose and went before, and went forth and bowed himself before the Lord and to kiss his feet. And the Lord commanded him that he should arise, and he arose and stood before him. And the Lord said unto him, I give unto you power that ye shall baptize this people when I am again ascended into heaven. And then Christ sets forth the ordinance of baptism by water into the fullness of the gospel. In verse 25, Nephi gives the baptismal prayer given to them by Christ himself. Now, this baptismal prayer never changes. And this is the baptismal prayer into the fullness of the gospel. And it's conducted by the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood, which is what Christ has just restored to Nephi by giving him the authority to baptize the people when he has again ascended into heaven. Now, for about 35 years, Nephi has already been going among the people and baptizing with water, but with the Aaronic priesthood into the preparatory gospel. The reason that Christ is giving Nephi higher authority is so that he can now baptize them into the terrestrial order of the gospel by the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood. And verse 24, and now behold, these are the words which he shall say, calling them by name, saying, having authority given me of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now it's important to note that in the Book of Commandments, you know, from 1829 to all the way to the beginning of 1835. This is the baptismal prayer that was used during Joseph Smith's day. But when the church was demoted from the terrestrial Church of Christ to the telestial Church of Latter-day Saints, the baptismal prayer was changed to the one we currently have in Doctrine and Covenants, because we were no longer baptizing by the Melchizedek priesthood into the fullness of the gospel, but rather by the Aaronic priesthood into the preparatory gospel. Now, cross-referencing D&C 7652. Joseph said at the end of the King Follett Discourse that there were three parts to baptism into the fullness of the gospel. Baptism of water, baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Notice that Christ has not yet said in 3 Nephi 11 anything about the baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost, but water only. And why is this? Well, the answer is in D&C 76, verse 52, that by keeping the commandments, they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands of him who is ordained and sealed unto this power. So here we find out that there are actually two parts to priesthood. The first part is the ordination where a man receives authority. Then there is always an intervening test, where a series of tests, and only if that man passes those tests is that priesthood ever sealed upon him. So the question is, do we have any accounts in Scripture of Christ sealing this priesthood upon a man. If we go to 3 Nephi 18, to the same set of 12 disciples that Christ called forward in 3 Nephi 11 and ordained them through the first order of Melchizedek priesthood, he returns and he touches each one of them one by one. And in the act of touching each one of them one by one, he seals upon them this order of the priesthood. And with it, with that sealing, now they have the power to perform the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost as directed by the Spirit. 3 Nephi 18, verse 36. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of these sayings, he touched with his hand the disciples whom he had chosen, one by one, even until he had touched them all. And he spake unto them as he touched them. And the multitude heard not the words which he spake. Therefore they did not bear record, but the disciples bear record, that he gave them power to give the Holy Ghost. And I will show unto you hereafter that this record is true. And it came to pass that when Jesus had touched them all, there came a cloud and overshadowed the multitude, that they could not see Jesus. And while they were overshadowed, he departed from them, and he ascended into heaven. And the disciples saw and bear record that he ascended again into heaven. So once the 12 disciples had this priesthood sealed upon them, Christ gave them the instruction to now also go forth and perform the rest of the baptismal ordinance into the fullness of the gospel, baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, Moroni chapter 2 is actually the rest of the story. Verse 1, the words of Christ, which he spake unto his disciples, the 12 whom he had chosen, as he laid his hands upon them, or as he touched them one by one. And he called them by name, saying, ye shall call on the Father in my name in mighty prayer. And after ye have done this, ye shall have power that to him upon whom ye shall lay your hands, ye shall give the Holy Ghost, and in my name shall ye give it, for thus do mine apostles. Now Christ spake these words unto them at the time of his first appearing, and the multitude heard it not, but the disciples heard it, and on as many as they laid their hands fell the Holy Ghost. Let's go and unpack verse 2 so that we better understand this ordinance. And he called them by name, the 12 disciples, saying, ye shall call on the Father in my name, in the name of Christ, in mighty prayer. So why would Christ instruct the disciples, if they've been sealed to the apostolic order of Melchizedek priesthood or unto the power to perform this ordinance, why would he instruct them first to call upon Father in mighty prayer? And that's because they have to get themselves into the spirit of opening their ears to hear and their hearts to understand, because this ordinance can only be performed as directed and commanded by the voice of the Spirit. And after ye have done this, ye shall have power. So, it is not sufficient simply for a man to be ordained and sealed unto the first order of Melchizedek priesthood to perform the ordinance. There is an additional endowment of power that the man performing the ordinance must receive from the heavens that is specific to an individual before this ordinance can be performed. Now, this ordinance can either be performed by a man on this side of the veil or the other, who has been ordained and sealed unto this power, and who receives specific direction from Father through the voice of the Spirit to perform this ordinance. Ye shall have power that to him upon whom ye shall lay your hands, ye shall give the Holy Ghost, and in my name shall ye give it, for thus do mine apostles. regarding the importance of this ordinance. We go to Alma chapter 7. Verse 14. Now I say unto you that ye must repent and be born again. The being born again referenced here by Alma is the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. For the Spirit saith, if ye are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, if baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost is so crucial and essential and important that without it, no man, no woman can inherit the kingdom of heaven, then it would be incumbent upon us to at least know what it is and what is required for us to receive it. For it's the common understanding that the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, is what we receive in the LDS Church when we're confirmed a member of the church. However, when in the LDS Church is that confirmation performed by a man who has been ordained and sealed unto this power? When in the LDS Church, before confirmation, do you see the man who is performing the confirmation crying out unto God in mighty prayer to find out if he is authorized to perform this ordinance for this specific individual? And if he is, then receiving that additional endowment of power to perform this ordinance. Well, that never happens because we don't even know. Let's go to Moroni 6. Verse 1. And now I speak concerning baptism. Behold, elders, priests, and teachers were baptized. And they were not baptized, save they were brought forth fruit, meat, that they were worthy of it. Neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came forth with a broken heart and contrite spirit, and witnessed unto the church that they truly repented of all their sins. Now, it's important to flesh out the context of what's going on. Moroni 6 is in regards to what was happening at the time that Christ visited the Nephites. And it might seem odd that in verse 1, the instruction is regarding the baptism of elders, priests, and teachers, because you would think that elders, priests, and teachers would already have been baptized. And indeed, they already had been, but not into the fullness of the gospel, into the preparatory gospel, by the authority of the Aaronic priesthood. And in 3 Nephi 11, Christ gives the 12 disciples a commission to go forth and baptize the people again into the fullness of the gospel. But there was already a church organization of the preparatory gospel among them. Verse 2, neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came forth with a broken heart and contrite spirit. What does that even mean? What is it to come forth with a broken heart and contrite spirit? Does it just mean that we're sad or depressed? At a bare minimum, offering up the sacrifice of a broken heart and contrite spirit means that we're willing to put everything upon the altar, and that there is nothing, including our own life, even those of our family members, that we would hold back from God if he were to require it. And specifically, it means that we have to seek after, receive, and act on the revelation about what is required of us to fully enter into this covenant and to live it with integrity, which looks something like this. Heavenly Father, I now covenant with you that I give you permission to give me whatever experiences I yet lack to come into a broken heart and contrite spirit, that I might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'm ready for the next experience to start right now. And I put everything upon the altar, everything I am, everything I have, everything I will become, my will and my life. And then every day, beginning that day with Heavenly Father, this day, I desire to offer up as a sacrifice my broken heart and contrite spirit. I recognize that I only know in small measure what that even means. So I ask thee this day to reveal to me by revelation what thou would have me do this day to enter into and live the sacrifice with integrity. And if that is what we are doing every day, and we're not only drawing near unto God with our lips, but also with our hearts, if we're actually not only seeking after and receiving, but also doing, it will not be long before we receive the baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost. And once we have received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the process is precisely the same. To be instructed about how to part the veil and enter into the rest of the Lord, which rest is the fullness of his glory. Not in the next life, in this life. And that is more than to have a vision of Christ. It is more than to have Christ come and visit us here on this earth. It is to have an ascension experience like Moses in Moses chapter 1, or Nephi in 1 Nephi chapter 11, where we go up to the high mountain, but not an earthly mountain, the heavenly mountain, that place in the heavens where Christ reigns in the fullness of his glory. And that is where we must go to enter into the rest of the Lord. Entering into the rest of the Lord is the privilege of God's people in every generation in which there is an open dispensation to the doctrine of Christ, to be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, to have our calling election made sure, and to be taught directly by him. Back to Moroni 6. Neither did they receive any unto baptism. This is baptism into the fullness of the gospel of the terrestrial order. Save they came forth with a broken heart and contrite spirit, and witnessed unto the church that they had truly repented of all their sins. And none were received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him to the end. This is the commitment of a life. Cross-reference DNC 20. Verse 37. And again, by way of commandment to the church concerning the manner of baptism, all those who humble themselves before God and desire to be baptized and come forth with broken hearts and contrite spirits and witness before the church that they have truly repented of all their sins and are willing to take upon them the name of Jesus Christ. Notice how very similar this is to the instruction given in Moroni chapter 6. The requirement to be baptized into the terrestrial order, the fullness of the gospel, by the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood, is that we first desire to be baptized with water. Second, that we come forth with broken hearts and contrite spirits. For baptism by water into the terrestrial order of the gospel is a formal declaration between God and man that that man, that woman, is willing to do anything God would require of them to come to a broken heart and contrite spirit, that they might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Lord's own time, in the Lord's own way, and witness before the church that they have truly repented of all their sins. Many think that we cannot repent of our sins until after baptism, but we certainly can. And it is a prerequisite to baptism into the terrestrial order. to have repented of our sins to the greatest degree that that is possible, and are willing to take upon them the name of Jesus Christ. The baptismal covenant of water is that we're willing to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ. Well, what is the difference between being willing to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ and taking upon us the name of Jesus Christ? For a clue, let's go to 3 Nephi chapter 9. Rather, I'm sorry, 3 Nephi 19. Now, 3 Nephi 19, we have the account of the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost of the 12 disciples. So significant an event was the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost of the 12 disciples, that not only did the heavens open and pillars of fire come down and surround each of the 12 disciples at the time of their baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and angels came down from heaven and ministered to them. Not only did that happen, but Christ himself came and personally ministered to the 12 disciples who were receiving the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And once that ordinance had been performed, Christ separates himself from the multitude, and he kneels down upon the ground, and he cries out unto Father, and he thanks Father for baptizing with fire and with the Holy Ghost those whom he had chosen. And he will plead for those who believe in him because of their words. Verse 19. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them, and went a little way off from them, and bowed himself to the earth, and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen. And it is because of their belief in me that I have chosen them out of the world. Father, I pray thee that thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all them that shall believe in their words. Father, thou hast given them the Holy Ghost because they believe in me. And thou seest that they believe in me because thou hearest them. And they pray unto me. And they pray unto me because I am with them. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for all those who shall believe on their words, that they may believe in me, that I may be in them, as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be in one. So, before the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, we are able to covenant with God that we are willing to take upon us the name of Christ. But we cannot actually take upon us the name of Christ until he extends his name to us and adopts us as sons or as daughters. And he does not do that until the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. At the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, we are able to go from being willing to take upon us the name of Christ to actually taking upon us the name of Christ, because it's extended to us. And Christ has already pled the case before Father for his 12 disciples. Now he begins the process of pleading the case for the rest of the Nephites, who will yet receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Verse 29, Father, I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me out of the world. Here he is quoting words that he uttered in Gethsemane. Father, I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me out of the world. Who are those that the Father has given Jesus Christ out of the world? Because when you talk to most people, they think that all parts of the atonement were for all people. In reality, only the first 25% of the atonement overcame sin and death. The rest of the atonement, the next 75%, was for Christ to gain the power to extend his hand to all of those who would become his sons and his daughters through the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and lift them up to where he was. Father, I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me out of the world because of their faith. Now, again, what is faith? Is faith belief? Faith is not belief. That's hope. Hope is belief and trust. Faith is seeking after receiving and acting on revelation. I pray not for the world, but for those thou hast given me out of the world, that they, because of their faith, because of their seeking after receiving and acting on revelation, which is the exact process required to offer up a broken heart and contrite spirit and receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, because of their faith, that they may be purified in me. Well, this being purified in Christ is that sanctification that starts with the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the first part. And the next part is that sanctification which takes place when those who have received his name enter into his rest, which rest is the fullness of his glory, and are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That they may be purified in me, that I may be in them. As thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one, that I may be glorified in them. Or in other words, that Father, these whom thou hast given me out of the world may become precisely as we have become. Back to DNC 20. Verse 37, and again, by way of commandment to the church concerning the manner of baptism, all those who humble themselves before God and desire to be baptized and come forth with broken hearts and contrite spirits and witness before the church that they have truly repented of all their sins and are willing to take upon them the name of Jesus Christ, having a determination to serve him to the end, and truly manifest by their works that they have received the Spirit of Christ unto the remission of their sins, they shall be received by baptism into his church. And at some point, everybody who has not been baptized by the Melchizedek priesthood is going to have to be baptized by water again by the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood into the fullness of the gospel. Section 22. Verse 1, behold, I say unto you that all old covenants have I caused to be done away in this thing. Well, what is this thing? It is the full ordinance of baptism, water, fire, and the Holy Ghost. What old covenants are being done away? Well, everything that had been pertained to, well, that pertained to and had been performed by the Aaronic priesthood, including baptism by water by the Aaronic priesthood. A new and an everlasting covenant, but we've only ever heard about the new and everlasting covenant of DNC 132 being eternal marriage. May I submit that the new and everlasting covenant has nothing to do with marriage, but everything to do with taking upon us the name of Jesus Christ and becoming his sons and his daughters. And thus having access to that level of revelation in the heavens, whereby we might be instructed about how to part them and enter into the rest of the Lord, which rest is the fullness of his glory. Even that which was from the beginning. Let's cross-reference Moses 6. starting in verse 59. That by reason of transgression cometh a fall, which fall bringeth death. And inasmuch as we were born into the world by water and blood and the Spirit. And thus we find out that childbirth, natural childbirth, is symbolic of baptism of water, baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. For inasmuch as you were born into the world by water and blood and the Spirit, which I have made, and so became of dust a living soul. Well, we also have the definition of what it means to be made of the dust a living soul. And it's simply natural childbirth. Even so, you must be born again into the kingdom of heaven, of water and of the Spirit, and be cleansed by blood, even the blood of mine only begotten, that ye might be sanctified from all sin and enjoy the worlds of eternal life in this world, or the words of eternal life in this world. Well, how do we enjoy the words of eternal life in this world? Well, it's because after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the mysteries of godliness being manifest unto men in the flesh, if we cross-reference D&C 84, verse 19, and this greater priesthood, the first order of Melchizedek priesthood, administereth the gospel and holdeth the key of the mysteries of the kingdom, even the key of the knowledge of God. Well, the key of the mysteries of the kingdom, even the key of the knowledge of God, is what is being talked about. And enjoy the words of eternal life in this world. And eternal life in the world to come, even immortal glory. Therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest. So, the key of the knowledge of God, even the mysteries of the kingdom, is the power of godliness being manifest unto men in the flesh. And verse 21, and without the ordinances thereof and the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest unto men in the flesh. What is the power of godliness being manifest unto men in the flesh? It's nothing more or less than the reception of the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because then one has access to that level of revelation in the heavens, whereby they might ask and knock and have it opened unto them. What is the it? The process of parting the veil and entering into the rest of the Lord, which rest is the fullness of his glory, not in the next life, in this life. And so, going back to Moses 6, even so, verse 59, ye must be born again into the kingdom of heaven, of water and the Spirit, and be cleansed by blood, even the blood of mine only begotten. So it is that full baptism of water, fire, Holy Ghost that cleanses, that we might be sanctified from all sin and enjoy the words of eternal life. The words to bring us back into Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory. In this world. So the second comforter experience coming into Christ's presence, the fullness of his glory, is not about what happens in the next life. It is to happen in this life or in this world and eternal life in the world to come, even immortal glory. For by the water ye keep the commandments, by the Spirit ye are justified, and by the blood ye are sanctified. Water, fire, Holy Ghost. Therefore it is given to abide in you the record of heaven, the comforter, the peaceable things of immortal glory, the truth of all things, that which quickeneth all things, which maketh alive all things. That which knoweth all things and hath all power according to wisdom, mercy, truth, justice, and judgment. Well, what is being talked about there? Does the man who officiates in the office of Holy Ghost actually come down and possess our bodies? No, that's not what happens. And that's not what being talked. That isn't what is being talked about. For that which enters into us is called the light of Christ. It is a physical substance. Our bodies are receivers and transmitters of light and truth. And when this physical substance, which is the light of Christ, comes into us, the light of Christ contains all truth, all knowledge, all power. And the extent to which we can tune into the information encoded in it and the power that comes from possessing a concentrated portion of the light of Christ is another example of the power of godliness being manifest to men in the flesh, even though that specific term refers specifically to the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. We can also apply it to what happens when we receive a concentrated portion and when we are actually able to uncode the information and instruction about how to use the power that comes from receiving a concentrated portion of the light of Christ, which is overseen and directed by that man who officiates in the office of Holy Ghost. So this is what actually comes into us. So verse 61 again, therefore it is given to abide in you, it meaning the light of Christ, but not just a background level, the greater portion that one receives with the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. The record of heaven, the comforter, the peaceable things of immortal glory, the truth of all things, that which quickeneth all things, which maketh alive all things, that which knoweth all things and hath all power according to wisdom, mercy, truth, justice, and judgment. And now behold, I say unto you, this is the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is that all men might receive baptism of water, fire, and the Holy Ghost, that they might be sanctified in preparation to enter into the rest of the Lord in this life. Now behold, I say unto you, this is the plan of salvation unto all men through the blood of mine only begotten, who shall come in the meridian of time. And behold, all things have their likeness, and all things are created and made to bear record of me, both things which are temporal and things which are spiritual, things which are in the heavens above and things which are on the earth, and things which are in the earth and things which are under the earth, both above and beneath, all things bear record of me. And it came to pass when the Lord had spoken with Adam, our father, that Adam cried unto the Lord, and he was caught away by the Spirit of the Lord and was carried down into the water and was laid under the water and was brought forth out of the water. And thus he was baptized, and the Spirit of God descended upon him. And thus he was born of the Spirit and became quickened in the inner man, or received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he heard a voice out of heaven saying, thou art baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And this is the record of the Father and the Son from henceforth and forever. And thou art after the order of him who was out without beginning of days or end of years, from all eternity to all eternity. Behold, thou art one in me, a son of God. Adam just went from being able to covenant to take upon himself the name of Christ to having it extended to him, a son of God. And thus may all become my sons. Amen. Cross-reference 3rd Nephi, chapter 9, verse 20. Starting in verse 17. And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God, Well, Christ is about to tell us how we are to receive him, that we might become his sons and his daughters. Verse 20, "And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost." It is the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that allows us to become sons or daughters of Christ. Back to D&C section 22. "Behold, I say unto you that all old covenants have I caused to be done away in this thing, the restoration of the fullness of the gospel, the Melchizedek priesthood, and with it the power and authority to perform the ordinance of baptism of water, fire, Holy Ghost. And this is a new and everlasting covenant, even that which was from the beginning." Well, we just read about the covenant that was from the beginning. So the new covenant is really the old covenant. The new covenant is just removed from the earth when there is not a man to be found upon it who's been ordained and sealed to the first order of Melchizedek priesthood. And this is what is meant by opening a new dispensation. When after a period where there has not been a man upon the earth, of flesh and blood, who's been ordained and sealed, that again, there is a man upon the earth who is ordained and sealed unto this power. Joseph Smith was such a man. And during his presidency, the fullness of the gospel was taken, and the saints were demoted to the preparatory gospel under the Aaronic priesthood, and would have to await until shortly before the second coming of Jesus Christ, when Joseph would return, would open again the heavens by again receiving power and authority in the first order of Melchizedek priesthood, making it possible again to be baptized with water and fire and the Holy Ghost. Verse 2, "Wherefore, although a man should be baptized 100 times, it availeth him nothing. For you cannot enter into the straight gate by the law of Moses, neither by your dead works." Or in other words, baptism by the Aaronic priesthood is not the saving ordinance. It is baptism by the Melchizedek priesthood into the fullness of the gospel, with the baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost coming sometime thereafter. In essence, baptism by water, by the Melchizedek priesthood, gives one temporary membership into the terrestrial order of the gospel. But that temporary membership does not become permanent until it is confirmed upon them, and they receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. "For it is because of your dead works that I have caused this last covenant and this church to be built up unto me, even as in the days of old. Wherefore, enter ye in at the gate." Well, what is that gate? What does it mean to enter in at the gate? "As I have commanded, and seek not to counsel your God. Amen." Entering at the gate. 2 Nephi. Verse 17, "Wherefore do the things which I have told you that I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause they have been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost." So back in D&C 22, "Wherefore enter ye in at the gate." The gate, repentance, baptism of water, fire, and the Holy Ghost, as I have commanded you. 2 Nephi 31, starting in verse 2. "Wherefore the things which I have written sufficeth me, save it be a few words which I must speak concerning the doctrine of Christ." "Wherefore I shall speak unto you plainly according to the plainness of my prophesying. For my soul delighteth in plainness. For after this manner doth the Lord God work among the children of men. For the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding, for he speaketh unto men according to their language and their understanding. Wherefore I would that you should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet, which the Lord showed unto me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sins of the world. And now if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh, then how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And I would ask you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water? Know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. So Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, who was a hereditary heir to the Aaronic priesthood. His father, Zechariah, the presiding high priest in the Aaronic order of the priesthood. So many will say the baptism that Christ received was the baptism by the Aaronic priesthood. So even though John was the lineal heir to this priesthood, that's not the priesthood that he held as he baptized, or that's not the only priesthood he held, and that is not the priesthood by which he performed the ordinance of baptism by water. He held the Melchizedek priesthood. How do we know? Let's go to DNC 84. Now, the context is that the children of Israel under Moses started out with the Melchizedek priesthood being distributed among them, that they also might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and be instructed about how to enter into the rest of the Lord precisely as Moses had done. But they hardened their hearts and would not offer up as a sacrifice their broken hearts and contrite spirits, which is what sanctifies a man, a woman, or a people preparatory to entering into the rest of the Lord. And because the Lord extended this opportunity to them, just as he did the early Latter-day Saints, when they rejected him by rejecting the opportunity to become his sons and his daughters. It says in verse 24, but they hardened their hearts and could not endure his presence. Therefore, the Lord in his wrath, for his anger was kindled against them, swore that they should not enter into his rest while in the wilderness, which rest is the fullness of his glory. Therefore, he took Moses out of their midst and the holy priesthood also. The holy priesthood being that higher priesthood talked about in verse 19, the first order of Melchizedek priesthood. And the lesser priesthood continued, the Aaronic priesthood, which officiates in the preparatory gospel, which priesthood holdeth the key of the ministering of angels and the preparatory gospel, which gospel is the gospel of repentance and of baptism and the remission of sins, and the law of carnal commandments, which the Lord in his wrath caused to continue with the house of Aaron among the children of Israel until John, whom God raised up, being filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, meaning John actually received the ordinance of baptism, of fire baptism of the Holy Ghost while still in his mother's womb. Verse 28, for he was baptized while he was yet in childhood, and he was ordained by an angel. Now, John the Baptist did not need to be ordained by an angel to the Aaronic priesthood. It was already his right of lineage. He had to be ordained by an angel because there was not to be found a man upon the earth who had been ordained and sealed unto this power. And he needed this power in order to be able to properly baptize Christ with water. And was ordained by the angel of God at the time he was 8 days old unto this power, to overthrow the kingdom of the Jews and to make straight the way the way of the Lord before the face of his people, to prepare them for the coming of the Lord, in whose hand is given all power. And this power was this first order of Melchizedek priesthood. Back in 2 Nephi 31. Know ye not, verse 7, that he was holy, but notwithstanding he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before Father, and witnesses unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. Now, this is a mysterious passage of Scripture which has evaded true understanding for millennia. But what it means is that the man who officiated in the office of Holy Ghost came down from heaven, laid his hands upon Christ, and performed the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, because he had been ordained and sealed unto this power. Wherefore, after he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. There is no other way. And he said unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father said, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, and this is why we can't receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost when we're 8. We don't have enough life experience. If ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, this requires life experience to follow Christ with no hypocrisy, no deception. This requires life experience and making mistakes and repenting of them and accessing the power of Jesus Christ to be forgiven. And now knowing the good from the evil, and having chosen the good, we can now choose to follow Jesus Christ with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before him, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ. And again, notice the wording that you are willing to take upon you the name of Christ, for you cannot take it upon you until he gives it by baptism. Now, typically in the Scriptures, when it talks about baptism, it's talking about all three parts: water, fire, and Holy Ghost. Yea, by following your Lord and your Savior down into the water according to his word. Behold, then shall you receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost. And then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep my commandments by baptism of water. Notice the delineation when it's talking about just baptism of water, separate and distinct from fire and the Holy Ghost. It delineates water, baptism only. And have received the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. Joseph Smith said, three baptisms make one: the baptism of water, the baptism of fire, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said that again at the end of the King Follett Discourse. And can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels. And after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. lest ye think that an eight-year-old can enter into a covenant at the level that, you know, if they stray, it would have been better for them to have known nothing of Jesus Christ. They can't. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the Son of living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore do the things which I have told you that I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter, and this is to get on to that straight and narrow path that leads to the tree, is repentance and baptism of water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son, and ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and of the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, you should receive. Now, we must understand, as Latter-day Saints, we haven't yet received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. We may have received great spiritual experiences. We may have had prophetic or revelatory dreams. We may have had visions. We even may have had Christ come and visit us here. But until the heavens were opened by Joseph, it was not possible. And since then, if we have not entered specifically into the new and everlasting covenant, if we have not sought with our whole soul and our whole energy from that day forward after entering into the new covenant, we have not received the experiences sufficient to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we must. And now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into this straight and narrow path, or received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, I would ask you if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay. For you have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save, meaning that you have to continue to do those things. Wherefore, you must press forward with a perfect steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brother, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ and the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. Then in 2 Nephi 32, Nephi poses the observance or observation that he makes. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way, or receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after you had received the Holy Ghost, you could speak with the tongue of angels? And how could you speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. Or in other words, after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you continue to ask and to seek and to knock, the words of Christ will be placed into your hearts that you might be instructed about how to part the veil and enter into the rest of the Lord in this life. And this feasting upon the words of Christ mean the same thing as we read in D&C 76. Verse 53. That after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost discussed in verse 52, that we, in verse 53, might overcome by faith. Well, what does it mean to overcome by faith? Overcome by seeking after, receiving, and acting on revelation. It means the exact same thing that feasting upon the words of Christ mean in 2 Nephi chapter 32, verse 3. That we are to do after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we might be instructed about entering into the rest of the Lord. Verse 53, Indian C 76 continues, and are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is the Holy Spirit of promise? It's Christ. But not everything that Christ does is as the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise is a specific aspect of the mission of Jesus Christ in his duties as a keeper at the gate. And he employeth no servant there. Baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Before it can happen, one must first demonstrate to God that one offers up the sacrifice of a broken heart and contrite spirit. When this is done, Christ will plead that man or woman's case before Father. And once he receives permission from Father to adopt that man or that woman as his son or his daughter, then is the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, authorized to be performed. And Christ does that in his aspect as Holy Spirit of promise. Well, here's another aspect of the Holy Spirit of promise. After the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, to overcome by faith, or to feast upon the words of Christ, seeking after, receiving, and acting on the revelation to instruct us about how to enter into his rest. Again, which is more than to just have a vision or have him appear to us here on this earth. It is to ascend to the high mountain and come into his presence in his glory. And are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. This sealing by Christ only takes place upon the high mountain, which the Father sheds forth upon all those who are just and true. Again, this is the ascension level of just and true. Verse 54, they are they who are the church of the firstborn. This is how you become a member of the celestial order of the gospel. You enter into the rest of the Lord, which is the requirement to be able to enter into the gates of New Jerusalem. Back to 2 Nephi 32. Verse 4, wherefore now after I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, it is because you ask not, neither do you knock. Wherefore you're not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. Ultimately being brought into the light is being brought into Christ's presence in his glory. For behold, again, I say unto you that if you will enter in by the way, repentance, baptism of water, fire and the Holy Ghost, and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things what ye should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you shall ye observe to do. So it's our opportunity and our privilege come into Christ's presence in his glory in this life and to be taught directly by him. Moroni chapter 6. Verse 3, and none were received unto baptism save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him to the end. And after they had been received unto baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the church of Christ. Now again, this is specifically talking about that group of Nephites who had been prepared to receive Christ when he would come and minister to them. and they had been through many testings and much destructions. And their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, and to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who is the author and the finisher of their faith. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray, and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Well, didn't they know that partaking of wine was against the word of wisdom? The counsel of the Lord to the saints during Joseph Smith's day was to use water because their enemies were trying to poison the wine. But it is completely appropriate to use non-poisoned wine in the taking of the sacrament. And they were strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among them. And whoso was found to commit iniquity, and three witnesses of the church did condemn them before the elders, and if they repented not and confessed not, their names were to be blotted out, and they were not numbered among the people of Christ. But as oft as they repented and sought forgiveness with real intent, they were forgiven. And their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the workings of the Spirit, and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them whither to preach or to exhort, or to pray, or to supplicate, or to sing, even it was done. Moroni 8. An epistle of my father Mormon, written to me, Moroni, and it was written unto me soon after my calling to the ministry. And on this wise he did write unto me, saying, my beloved son Moroni, I rejoice exceedingly that your Lord Jesus Christ hath been mindful of you and hath called you to his ministry and to his holy work. I am mindful of you always in my prayers, continually praying unto God the Father in the name of his holy child Jesus, that he, through his infinite goodness and grace, will keep you through the endurance of faith on his name to the end. And now, my son, I speak unto you concerning that which grieveth me exceedingly. For it grieveth me that there should be disputations arise among you. For if I have learned the truth, there have been disputations among you concerning the baptism of your little children. And now, my son, I desire that ye should labor diligently, that this gross error should be removed from among you. For this intent I have written this epistle. For immediately after I had learned these things of you, I inquired of the Lord concerning the matter. And the word of the Lord came unto me by the power of the Holy Ghost, saying, listen to the words of Christ, your Redeemer, your Lord, and your God. Behold, I came into the world not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. The whole need no physician, but they that are sick. Wherefore, little children are whole, for they are not capable of committing sin. Wherefore, the curse of Adam is taken from them in me, that it hath no power over them, and the law of circumcision is done away in me. And after this manner did the Holy Ghost manifest the word of God unto me. Wherefore, my beloved son, I know that it is solemn mockery before God that you should baptize little children. Wherefore, I say unto you that this thing shall ye teach, repentance and baptism unto those who are accountable and capable of committing sin. Now, some take the preceding verses to say that no children should ever be baptized. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying little children. And the definition of little children being those who are not yet accountable. Behold, I say unto you that this thing shall you teach, repentance and baptism unto those who are accountable and capable of committing sin. Yea, teach parents that they must repent and be baptized and humble themselves as their little children. And they shall all be saved with their little children. And their little children need no repentance, neither baptism. Behold, baptism is unto repentance, to the fulfilling the commandments, unto the remission of sins. But little children are alive in Christ, even from the foundation of the world. If not so, God is a partial God, and also a changeable God and a respecter of persons. And how many little children have died without baptism? Wherefore, if little children could not be saved without baptism, these must have gone to an endless hell. Behold, I say unto you that he that supposeth that little children need baptism is in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity, for he hath neither faith, hope, nor charity. Wherefore, should he be cut off while in the thought, he must go down to hell. Let's cross-reference D&C 68. Upon the theme of when should one be baptized? Verse 25. And again, inasmuch as parents have children in Zion or in any of her stakes, which are organized that teach them not to understand the doctrine of repentance, faith in Christ, the Son of the living God, and of baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands, when 8 years old, the sin be upon the heads of the parents. Now, this is talking about in Zion. Zion is created at the time of the beginning of the Exodus, as Joseph and the first laborers in the last kingdom finished the gathering out of the strength of the Lord's house. And there will be a special time during that Zion Exodus, just as there was a special time when Christ came and visited the Nephites. And, you know, those who are ready to receive the baptism of water in large part at that time will also be ready to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is usually not the case right now, but it will be. And so the part that does apply to us right now is that parents of young children are under the requirement to teach unto them an understanding of the doctrine of Christ, that when we become accountable of our sins, we must repent. What that means to repent. Once we become accountable of our sins, that we have a need to be baptized by water, that the requirement to be baptized by water is to offer up a broken heart and contrite spirit and to teach them what that means and to kneel with them and open the heavens with them and bring down light and glory with them, that they may receive a witness for themselves by the power of the Spirit that all true things are true. That by the time they become accountable or capable of committing sin, they've been instructed sufficiently that they might choose for themselves if they are desirous to take upon them the name of Christ and do whatever is required to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. D&C 20, verse 71. No one can be received into the church of Christ, this is the terrestrial order, unless he has arrived unto the years of accountability before God and is capable of repentance. D&C 18. And you must preach unto the world, saying, ye must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For all men must stand and be baptized, and not only men, but women and children who have arrived at the years of accountability. Notice the demarcation between young children, those before the age of accountability, and children who have reached the age of accountability. Mosiah 4. verses 1 through 3. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. And they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, Oh, have mercy, and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins. Now may I submit that this was the final portion that was required of them to come to a broken heart and contrite spirit, that they might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. King Benjamin's address wasn't his first address. It was the culmination of all his prior religious addresses. All of the prior had built his people in the direction that they might, at this time, be ready to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now this is the capstone. And apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and that our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth, and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. And it shall come to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came down upon them, and they were filled with joy, having received a remission of their sins. This is the beginning of the baptism of fire, which is final preparation for King Benjamin's people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it should be made note that we may receive many baptisms of fire throughout our life. Their purpose is to sanctify us. That's why a baptism of fire always accompanies the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, is a one-time event, and it is a priesthood ordinance. Filled with joy, having received a remission of their sins, and having peace of conscience because of the exceeding faith which they had in Jesus Christ, who should come according to the words of which King Benjamin had spoken unto them. And now going to Mosiah chapter 5. So they begin having that cleansing baptism of fire that prepares them for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now we begin the process of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people, he sent among them, desiring to know of his people if they believed the words which he had spoken unto them. And they all cried with one voice, saying, Yea, we believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us. And also we know of their surety and truth, because of the Spirit of the Lord omnipotent, which has wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. Now, the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, is not the only time that we can have a born-again experience. But we always have a born-again experience with the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they received the endowment of a changed heart, having desire to sin removed from them, but to do good continually. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of his Spirit, have great views of that which is to come. And were it expedient, we could prophesy all things, or in other words, they could speak with the tongue of angels. And it is faith which we have had on the things which our King has spoken. Now remember, faith is not simply belief, but seeking after receiving and acting on revelation. So they have acted on the revelation that they have been given by King Benjamin, which was given to him by the mouth of an angel designed to give King Benjamin's people the very last piece they needed to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. The things which our King has spoken unto us, this great knowledge, wherefore we do rejoice with such exceedingly great joy. And we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God, to do his will and to be obedient to his commandments in all things that he shall command us all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment. as has been spoken by the angel, that we may not drink of the cup of the wrath of God. So in the midst of this baptism of fire, they enter into the covenant and thus receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And verse 7, and now because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ. For Christ has now extended his name to you, now that you have received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. For behold, this day he has spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him and have become his sons and his daughters. And under this head ye are made free. And there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore, I would that you should take upon you the name of Christ, all you that have entered into the covenant with God, that you should be obedient unto the end of your lives. And it shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this shall be found at the right hand of God, for he shall know the name by which he is called. For the name he shall be called by is by the name of Christ. And now it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not take upon him the name of Christ must be called by some other name. Therefore he findeth himself on the left hand of God. And I would that ye should remember also that this is the name that I said that should be given unto you, that never should be blotted out, except it be through transgression. So once you receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can fall from it. And it not only be as if it never happened, but it would have been better that ye had never known Christ. And I say unto you, I would that ye should remember to retain the name written always in your hearts, that ye are not found on the left hand of God, but that ye hear and know the voice by which ye shall be called, and also the name by which he has called you, or he shall call you. For how knoweth a man the master whom he has not served? And who is a stranger unto him, and is far from the thoughts and intents of his heart. And again, doth a man take an ass which belongeth to his neighbor, and keep him? I say unto you, nay. He will not even suffer that he shall feed among his flocks, but he will drive him away and cast him out. I say unto you, that even so shall it be among you, if you know not the name by which ye are called. Therefore I would that ye should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works. Christ the Lord omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that ye may have everlasting life, that ye may have everlasting salvation and eternal life, through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things, in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen.